Good morning. If you would turn to 1 Timothy 5, maybe you're already there. But before we look at that, I just want to read one verse back in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 15, Paul writes, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and the pillar and ground of truth." And so Paul has commissioned Timothy to instruct the church on how they should live and please God. And so today we're going to be talking about younger widows. One of the blessings of expository preaching is you cover all topics. Because I doubt if you weren't preaching expositorily that you would come to a text like this and preach it. In fact, how many sermons have you heard in your life on what we're supposed to do with young widows? Yeah, probably not many. It's just one of those texts you would skip over and go to something more exciting, right? Because there are a lot of exciting texts in the Bible. But we want to preach the whole counsel of God, not just pieces and parts of God's word. We want the whole counsel of God. I believe that's the preacher's commission. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 16, Paul talks about the responsibility the family and the church has to care for widows. The care of widows is extremely important to God. It is the mark of true religion. James writes, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." So in this section, Paul divides widows into two groups or two categories: older widows and younger widows. We dealt with older widows last week. Today we will deal with the younger widows. And so, looking at the responsibility that we, God's family, has toward young widows, the first point this morning is this: the church's obligation to instruct young widows to remarry. So here's the scenario, or a scenario. A woman becomes a widow. She's feeling hurt and brokenhearted. In the emotion of that moment, she says, "I'll never marry again. I'm going to devote my whole life to the service of the Lord. So please put me on the church roll, and I will serve the Lord all the days of my life." Now, here's a woman who's thinking emotionally, not logically. And since it could be difficult for her to sustain a commitment that she made in a time of grieving, the church was to refuse to place her on that list. Verse 11 says, "The church's refusal to place the younger widows on the list doesn't mean that we shouldn't help young widows financially. The church can and should help needy widows regardless of their age. But the church is not to support them on a permanent basis. Whereas the older widows who didn't have family were to be put on the church roll, which meant they were supported by the church for their entire life." Paul says, rather, the younger widows should remarry. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 11 to 15, the text that was read a few moments ago gives several reasons for the church to encourage the younger widows to remarry rather than placing them on the list to be permanently cared for by the church. So the three things I want to point out here. Number one, the reason for this is so that they don't become frustrated. Verses 11 and 12 in our text says, "But refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. And so those widows placed on this list made an agreement basically with the church that they would remain widows for their entire life. They would serve the church. Paul said to refuse to put the younger widows on that list. And the reason that he gives is this: for when they feel sensual desires, to feel sensual desires means to feel the impulse of sexual desire. It refers to a woman's desire for a man in all that it entails: love, companionship, friendship, security, having strong desires to remarry, but feeling bound to her pledge would leave her frustrated. See, if she makes this pledge after her husband dies and she's young and says, "I won't remarry, I'm just going to serve the Lord in the church the rest of my days." Well, she's young. She's not always going to feel that way. She feels that way now, but later she's going to feel different, and Paul knows this. And so Paul doesn't want the young widows to go through this. And so these strong desires to remarry will more than likely cause her to abandon her pledge to faithfully serve Christ in the church all the days of her life, and then she will go and remarry. And by doing this, she will feel condemned. She will feel that she has done wrong because she made a pledge. She made a pledge that she would serve Christ, she would serve the church, and now she's remarried. She's gone against that pledge, and she feels this condemnation. Paul didn't want that for the younger widows. It's the reason he gives this command, so that they would not become frustrated. But number two, so that they would not become idle. In verse 13, Paul says, "And at the same time, they also learn to be idle, as they go around from house to house, not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention." You see, a younger widow who went from home to home and instructing and in counseling and working with other young women would collect a lot of information of this family and that family and other families. And Paul was concerned that what was originally a commitment to the Lord might turn into more of a social outing. And so they just go out and they socialize and they gossip. And Paul was concerned that this could be a problem. And so they go from one place to the next, destroying God's people and God's work. And that's what happens when you gossip, because gossip is destructive. It's dangerous. Or Paul mentions they become busybodies. That is, they're consumed by curiosity and they look into concerns that are not their own. Paul was not saying that every young widow who loses her husband is looking for trouble or to gossip. Obviously, there were exceptions to this, but Paul's trying to protect the church. He's trying to do what he feels is in the best interest of the church. Women going from home to home to home to home, talking about all kinds of things, could create a lot of problems for the church. Gossip is nothing new. Gossip is something the church deals with today, correct? And it's destructive wherever you find it. It's not good. It's not healthy. It just tears down the body. It hurts people. And Paul doesn't want this for the church. And so he says the younger widows should remarry so that they don't find themselves becoming idle. But number three, so they fulfill their responsibilities. Look at verses 14 and 15. He says, therefore, I want younger widows to get married, to bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. You see, Paul could see this. Paul knew that this could happen. And so he's guarding the church. And so rather than placing themselves in a vulnerable position by being on the church's list, younger widows were to find fulfillment in life through certain areas and responsibilities instead. Therefore, he says, I want the younger widows to get married. And so the church was to instruct the younger widow to remarry so that she wouldn't have to struggle with her desires for remarriage. A husband would give her the affection and the care and the provision that she longed for and needed. So Paul says, I want the younger widows to marry. I want them to bear children. Bearing children is one of God's chief purposes for women. And it's important we understand this. Losing a husband and remarrying doesn't change that. Rearing godly seed in a Christian home is God's will for every home. Read the book of Malachi. It's God's will that God's people raise up godly seed. That's what God wills. That's what God wants. In the beginning, God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And then the flood came, and after the flood, God reiterated this command. God said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. God has never gone back on that commandment. That is God's will, that women have children, and that she keep the house. This includes managing the household and nurturing children in a Christian atmosphere. The wife and mother is to be the keeper at home. Titus 2 verse 5 says the same thing, which speaks of the managing of the home with the resources that are provided. The husband provides the resources and brings them home, and the wife manages and dispenses those resources faithfully on behalf of the family. Paul says, give no occasion for the adversary, that is, for reproach. Paul was concerned about this. Younger widows who remarry, rear godly children, and properly manage the household, give no cause of criticism against the church of our Lord. But men and women who violate God's purpose give grounds for criticism. You know, some people just like to criticize. And some people criticize the church every opportunity they get. They basically become Satan's instruments, looking for any fault that they can find and to keep them from having any source of slander against God's people. It's best for the younger widows, Paul says, to remarry. That way the woman won't be as vulnerable to sin or be lured away into worldliness. Instead, she will find security and strength and protection in a godly relationship with her husband. Some in the church, Paul says, have already turned from following Christ. They've already left. They're spreading lies. They've become busybodies and gossips. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13. Paul wants to spare the church all of this trouble. And so it's best, God's wisdom is for the younger widows to marry. But secondly, the church's obligation to make sure that men and women support their widows. Now I said men and women. In your translation, you may have just women there. You may have men, and it may have a footnote that says it's not in some of the older translations. I went ahead and just put men and women because it could be a father whose wife had died, and he had a daughter that married, and her husband died, and she's back home with daddy. So daddy could have a widow. Mama also could have a widow, a young widow. So daddy's out of the picture. Her daughter had married, her husband died, and now we're in a situation where she is a young widow and back in the care of mom again. And so either way it works, whether it's men or women. The point is, these young widows are to be cared for. The first responsibility to care for these men and women, though, falls on the family. We've already noted that last week. If any provide not for their own, is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith, the Apostle Paul says. And so, he says in verse 16, if any widow who is a believer has dependent widows, let her assist them, and let not the church be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. And so Paul wants to help those who truly need the help. An older widow is not likely to go out and remarry and have that security again. A younger widow is more likely to go out and find a husband, right? And so for that reason, so women within the church should support any widows in their fold. Support should come first from their families, as we've already noted, 1 Timothy 5, verse 4. But if widows didn't have families to provide or support them, then the church is to take care of them. The church is to love its people. The church is to care for its people. It's vital. And so their support didn't always have to be, by the way, money. Their support could be other things as well. Maybe it could be just lodging. Maybe it's clothing. Maybe it's food. It could be a number of things. It didn't always just consist of money. It's the essentials to live: food, housing, clothing, those sorts of things. Paul says the family's obligated first, the church is obligated second. The point is, God wants the widows cared for one way or another, either the family or the church. One or the other needs to care for them. You see, caring for widows is God's joy. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 19, he writes, Moses writing says, cursed is the man who withholds justice from the widow. In Deuteronomy 14, verse 29, the widow who is within thy gate shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou dost. And since God is displeased with lack of care of widows in the Old Testament, you know that he is certainly displeased when widows are not cared for today in our day and time. And so it's God's will that we care for these people, that they're not overlooked. And it's so easy to overlook a widow. It's so easy after their husband dies. Everybody goes back to their normal routine, except for the widow. The widow does not go back to a normal routine. The widow has a tough life, and it's hard. And God wants the church family to minister and look after and help these widows. It's what true religion is. So I hope and pray that we as a church will think about this. As I said, this is not a text you're going to hear in most churches. This is a text that people are just going to overlook, and they're going to go on to something more exciting. you know, and more interesting and more thought-provoking and less boring, if you will, right? This is not the most exciting material to talk about, but it's absolutely essential because we're talking about people that are hurting and are in need, and it's our responsibility to come to them and assist them in their time of need. God wants His people to do that. I pray that we as a church fulfill God's will. And so let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love You so much, and we are so grateful to You because, God, in Your wisdom, You looked ahead, saw every need that the church might have, and You've made adequate provision for. And we thank You for that, God. If we just follow Your word and do Your will, we will find that life is so much better. We will find that serving in the church is so much more fulfilling when we are actually assisting and helping and doing things for other people, when we're not preoccupied with self and with the things that are going on in our own lives. They blind us sometimes from the hurt and pain that's going on right in front of us. I pray that You'll take away the blinders, help us to see these precious people that You love and You want cared for. I pray that we'll step up to the plate and we'll do just that, God. And I pray and ask all this through the wonderful and precious name of Jesus. Amen. And for those of you this morning who maybe you're struggling, going through a tough time, life is hard, let me remind you, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care on Him, or anxiety, because He cares for you. If there's anything you need to know, it's this: God cares for you. He loves you, and He wants to take care of you. But it's important, it's imperative that you bring your concerns to Him. And so we're going to sing a song. And as we sing this song, this is a time that you can bring those concerns and let God's people gather around you. Let God's people pray with you and for you in whatever you're going through. And if you're not a Christian this morning and you're here, the invitation is always open. We love to share the gospel with people. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, when we sing this song, we hope and pray that you will come forward. Let us share with you the gospel so that you can become part of God's family. Whatever your need is, make it known as we stand and sing this morning.